Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's, again, great to see everyone here tonight. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, that's where we'll find our text. If you're able, let's stand together as we read the text and get into the lesson tonight. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the opportunity we have together to sing your praises, to pray, to open the word of God. And I pray that you would get glory from everything that we do tonight and every moment of our lives. Lord, we pray that you would help us to die to ourselves and live completely for you. Lord, fill us with your spirit each day. Lord, please guide us into truth. Teach us from your word tonight. Help us to know you. Lord, help us to grow in your grace and in your knowledge. And Lord, help us as a church to fulfill the purposes that you've given for us to do by your grace, by your spirit. Lord, we pray anyone hearing this message, this lesson tonight, who's never been born again, that tonight they would repent of their sin and unbelief, call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And Lord, please help all of us to be faithful disciples. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We introduced this lesson last week and talked about a few things, and I want to talk to you a little bit more about the message and the ministry of the church as we kind of walk through these scriptures. These may be a couple of things that you got into a little bit in your small groups, but it's something I wanted to approach with you as a group, as a whole out front here together. He says in verse 15, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so he gives us some very descriptive terms in regards to the church. He says that the church is the house of God, or we might say the household would actually be the word there. We would probably say family. And so the church is a family. We talked about the fact that it's the church of the living God, and that this church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the called out ones, that we've been called out by the Lord. We're brought together as a group by the Lord Jesus Christ. The church belongs to him. He said, I will build my church. So the word assembly in the Bible can talk about different groups of people. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, it uses that same word, ecclesia, to describe an angry mob, which might be a good description of some churches. But that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about the called out ones, those who are assembled by the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood-bought band. And so it's the assembly of the living God. It belongs to him. And it is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The pillar, something that would hold something up. And the church is designed to hold up the truth that we find in the Word of God. And the ground, it gives the idea of that foundation, that anchor point. And so the church is to be built on the truth, and it's to hold up the truth. Amen. And that's what we exist for. Now he gets into, as we walk through the text, verse 16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And I think this is one of the most amazing verses in all of the Bible. How the Holy Spirit was able to guide the Apostle Paul, writing to the young pastor Timothy, and to put so much incredible, amazing, wonderful theology in one sentence. It's awesome. He says, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So I want you to consider this. When he says the church is the pillar of the ground of the truth, he moves into talking about that truth. This is the truth that's the foundation. This is the truth that's the anchor that we hold to as a church. The anchor that holds us is this truth about who Jesus is and what he came to do. And it's that truth that we're supposed to hold up. So he really compresses it into one verse here. Obviously, we're to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. But he really focuses in with laser focus on this is what the truth is that we are to live for. The truth is that he bought us for. The truth is of how he bought us. So it's just beautiful. It's awesome. In other words, you might say the message of the church, if we're going to talk about the message of the church is Jesus. I think that if we're not really careful, we can make our message about a lot of things. We've been doing this whole study dealing with a lot of social issues, a lot of cultural issues. And I think if churches aren't careful, they'll get derailed in trying to deal with some of the social and cultural issues of our day. And we do need to take a stand for those things based on the Word of God. But if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in those things that we forget to stand for Jesus. And it's got to always be about Jesus. And so the message of the church is Jesus. The message of the church is his deity and his work of redemption. Amen. Look at it. I mean, if you've talked to very many people in this area in your life, you've talked to somebody who doesn't believe that Jesus is God. That's known as the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus is God. So we're talking about the deity of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the biblical truth that Jesus is, was, always will be God. And how much more plain can the scriptures put it? God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus was fully God and fully human. He manifested himself. He made himself known. He showed himself to the world, and he did it in the flesh, but as God. John 1, verse 14 says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And in John 1, the same God, the same Word that spoke everything into existence is the same Word that became flesh. And when you saw God in the flesh, you saw the only begotten of the Father who was full of grace and truth. And so he made God known. He showed himself visible. Colossians 2:9 says this about our Savior. Colossians 2:9 says, "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In other words, all the fullness of the Trinity, of all of the nature of God, was in Jesus, in his flesh. And so God was manifest in the flesh. Then it says that he was justified in the Spirit. The word justified means to be declared righteous or to exhibit one's righteousness. Now, the justification that you and I need is different than the justification of the Spirit that Jesus experienced. You and I need to be made right before God, which would indicate that we were not right with God. But Jesus, through his death and resurrection and faith in him, gives us a right standing before God. But that's not what Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So when it says Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, was justified in the Spirit, it's not talking about the same kind of justified that you and I experience in salvation. So what is it talking about? Well, the Holy Spirit declared through the works in Jesus' life that he was the Son of God. I want you to think about it. We studied this, I think, in the men's Bible study a couple weeks ago in Luke 5, when there were the four friends who carried their friend who was sick of the palsy, and they couldn't get to the house because of the press. Remember that? They tore up the tiles. They lowered them down. Jesus said to the man, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." And the people there murmured against Jesus. They thought, who can forgive sins but God? It's a good question. That's a valid question. But we kind of get down on them. But I think that's a very valid question, because that is true. Nobody can forgive sin but God. And so Jesus said, what's easier? To say, "Thy sins are forgiven thee," or to say to the one who's sick of the palsy, "Take up thy bed and walk"? but so you'll know that I have power to forgive sins. He says to the sick of the palsy, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately he stands up, gets his bed and goes. I love that passage of scripture. And I want you to get what's going on. The Spirit of God working through Jesus to do those miracles, he justified Jesus. He proved, he manifested that Jesus was God. He showed him and showed his righteousness in his ability to not only heal, but to forgive sins. Because anybody could do that, right? I mean, I could look at Mike Walker and say, your sins are forgiven. Anybody could say that. But I can't look at Mike and say, your back is healed. Sorry. Wrong church. Wrong TV show. See, I don't have the power that Jesus had. And so Jesus was justified in the Spirit in the sense that the Spirit declared what Jesus was, the righteous Son of God, the sinless Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. Next it says he was seen of angels. He was seen of angels. The book of Hebrews tells us that he created the angels. He brought them into existence. He made them ministers of flaming fire. Hebrews 1:6 says, again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And we read about the night Jesus was born, how the multitude of the heavenly host appeared praising God. And so his manifestation in the flesh as the God-man, he was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles. And we know when we study our Bible, basically you have two groups of people in the Bible. You have the Jews, and then you have everybody else. This is the Greek word ethnos. It's the word we get ethnicity from. So it's saying he was preached not just to the Jews, but he was preached to the Gentiles as well. Romans 1:14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And Paul would go on and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And so the gospel was preached everywhere, and he was believed on in the world. From the time that Jesus began preaching, and really before that, when John the Baptist came preaching, preparing the way, men and women and boys and girls started to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came on the scene, they believed in him. And as Jesus preached the gospel, people believed on him. And as his disciples preached the gospel, people believed on him. And as the woman at the well ran to the men of the city, they believed on him. And as the maniac of Gadara, as he wanted to go with Jesus, he said, no, go home and tell your friends the great love and the great things God has done for you. He went throughout Decapolis, the 10 cities, preaching about Jesus, and all the people were amazed. And I'm just telling you that from the beginning, when Jesus started preaching, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, people believed. And you know what? When we're faithful to go and preach the gospel, people will believe now. But we've got to go and tell people. We don't have time to turn to all these verses, but if some of you are taking notes tonight, let me throw a few at you. Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The people believed, and it says that many believed in Acts 4 and verse 4, in Acts 9 and verse 42. In Acts 17 and verse 12, in Acts 18 and verse 8, in Acts 19, verses 18 through 20, over and over and over, the scripture tells us that as the people of the church, the disciples, the church members went everywhere preaching the gospel, many believed. But let me help you out a little bit. They preached to a lot of people before many believed. They didn't sit in their comfy pews and not preach to anybody and have many believe. They didn't have just one or two go and preach the gospel and many believe. But the Bible says they all went everywhere preaching the gospel and many believe. And so if you have a desire in your heart to see many people believe, then we have to go tell a lot of people. Oh, that's really deep theology. You have to sow a lot of seeds if you want to reap a lot of harvest. Amen. Then he was received up into glory. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. He was seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. This is the great mystery of godliness. Now, there's a lot more to say, and we'll get into, Lord willing, next week we'll get into more of the methods of the church, but tonight I just want you to remember that our message is Jesus. What we're to preach is Jesus. Well, where to go and tell our friends and family and neighbors and the strangers about us is Jesus. It's him. It's Christ and him crucified and risen again. Let's stand together.